Wiggle your toes.
Just a couple of things about form with the Zendo. And the first one is, in the temples and in the monasteries, the han, which is the board outside, is struck at the time that the gathering is, people are supposed to be in the building. So we're going to go back. We've kind of slipped away a little bit and waited for people. So I'm going to ask Stephen or Kaz, whoever does the han, we'll do that at 8. So that will announce, hurry if you're on the path out there. If he's striking, just go ahead and go past him and come on in. And then the clappers and the small bell will begin. If, you know, I know there's life out there and there's things that happen. Sometimes we're in control, sometimes we're not in control. So do your best. This is a time that you're giving yourself to come and to be here. So do your best to be here at 8. Then the second one is just about the sitting posture, and I'm not sitting in the typical way, but you want to be sure and keep your back straight. And I know for me, when I'm sitting, all of a sudden I'm aware that I'm kind of like that, or I'm like that, or, you know, so once you become aware of it, just straighten it back up, and the energy flow is actually improved by doing that, and it allows your lungs to be more fully engaged with the breathing process. So there's just two little comments about that. I have said before that Reverend Ito has offered this place no matter what one's belief is, whether you're religious or Christian or Buddhist or Muslim or Jewish or whatever, that it's really just a place to do Zazen. And at the same time, and this is so typical Zen, the middle way, it is a Buddhist place. So what I'm going to do over the next few weeks is kind of begin with some of the basic beliefs about Buddhism, and it's not with the idea of preaching to you and this is what you have to believe, not at all, but it's a matter of, you know, what is it? What is Buddhism? What does it come from? So, and some, especially the newer texts that are more European, American, Buddhism is sometimes described as a religion. Sometimes it's described as a philosophy. You know, it doesn't necessarily entail religious practices or anything. It could be a way of life. It's increasingly used in psychology, in the healing of kind of psychological burdens and hardships that we all carry and we all bring with us in our life. So, again, however you'd like to take this, this is kind of the premise of Buddhism. And so, according to the scriptures, the Buddhist scriptures, Shakyamuni Buddha, who is not the very first Buddha, but is the one that we kind of connect with the outcome of the present-day Buddhist practice, says something to the effect, right after his enlightenment, I come to teach four things, and that's all I do. He went on in other parts to elaborate that he just sets it out as kind of the base, the groundwork, and then each person finds how it fits into their life. But there are the four, and those are called the Four Noble Truths, which is the first truth is that life is suffering. And some people will sometimes say that Buddhism, therefore, is a very pessimistic belief system. And maybe if you get stuck in that, you know, that life is suffering and that's all it is, that can be a very pessimistic view. But Buddha's, Shakyamuni Buddha is sometimes compared to like a physician, and he will see, a doctor will see a certain set of symptoms, you know, that this is what's happening. He'll say, well, there's a cause for those symptoms, and there's a, you can get some relief from those symptoms, and then he outlines the treatment, as it were, which is called the Eightfold Path. So the reality of our human life is that there is suffering. It will take a very physical form, starting with birth. You know, birth is painful. It's painful to the mother. It's painful to the father who's watching this process. It is painful for the child. You know, all of a sudden has to accommodate a whole new way to breathe and a new set of stimulus in his environment. So birth is painful. Aging is painful. You know, as we get older, you know, our feet go to sleep and our knees go out and you know, our skin starts to sag and our memory goes. And, you know, but just it just aging is difficult. And we were at Tahoe last week, and when my sons were young, we oftentimes went camping there, and so we had this very positive experience with Tahoe in one sense. And I realized, you know, my oldest son is 49 years old, and so that was 40 years ago, and it's like, you know, how can that be? You know, I didn't see the aging that went on either in him or in myself. And yet there was this stark memory of here he was at 9 and here he is at 49, and therefore I'm in a different place. So aging, becoming sick, again, whether it's a psychological sickness, a brain disorder, a physical disorder, that we all, no matter how healthy we are, will have periods of time of being ill. We will be exposed to a certain bacteria, we will have a certain injury, it will just happen. That's part of the human condition. And the final one is that there is the abatement of that suffering, and that is the hope that Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha, really provides. You know, it's not we're going to get stuck here and that's all there is, but there's a different transition. When my husband died, he also died at Tahoe, my first husband, I had this very mixed sense, one of incredible sadness and anger and frustration, and I was mad at him, and I was mad at myself, and you know, and there was all the sadness that was about that. But underneath, when I could really be quiet, there was this gift, and that's all I can describe it as. This is the unfolding the way it's meant to be, and so I didn't want to stay in either place, you know, because it wasn't all peaceful and wonderful and natural and normal, and yet it also wasn't all terrible. It was what it was. So in the nature of suffering, there is the physical. There's also the suffering that we go through because things change, because there is nothing is permanent. And we can know that in our head, but when we actually experience a loss or a change, it can be quite difficult. We don't want this to happen. This isn't the way it should be, or this isn't the way I should be, or you know, I need to be a better person. And yes, in some ways we can always improve. And sometimes we need to improve our own acceptance of ourselves, that that's how we're feeling, that that's what we're going through at that time. So there's that level of it's almost like a conditioning. We expect ourselves, if I do X, then I'm going to get Y. And I was sitting this morning, and I was kind of beginning to focus on this a little bit, and I thought, what if you get up, Anne, and nothing comes out of your mouth? It could happen, right? I mean, you know, it's like I could be have a stroke or something, and, you know, there's nothing there. And I thought, how, you know, I just expect that I'm going to get up, you know, and I worry about, am I going to say the right things? But I never worry about, well, is something going to come out of my mouth? It just, so, you know, we are conditioned to accept so many things. It's just, that's just what's going to happen. And then the third one is based on the idea of the anxiety. And suffering can be anxiety, it can be frustration, it can be sadness, it can be physical pain, it can be just a number of different things. And sometimes we also make our suffering worse because we think, you know, well, X has happened and I shouldn't enjoy the day. Or, I'm mad that I'm mad. I shouldn't be mad, but I make it worse by being mad that I'm mad. And that's where, you know, we can improve sometimes in just accepting who we are and what we're experiencing. We are a society that connects happiness with external gratification, you know, things go along the way that we want them to go along. And part of what Buddha taught, especially as I go through this, and the last one, that there is a path to follow, what we find is that it is really within ourselves. It is not based on external, what we think or what we experience. It is who we find in ourselves. And that is why we do Zazen, is to learn to be still and to have what Shakyamuni Buddha calls the direct experience. It isn't somebody telling you this is what you should believe or do or think or whatever, but it's like, I know it because I've experienced it. And it doesn't hold. I was telling Kaz this morning that I was feeling competitive about somebody, and he says, really? You've been sitting for a long time. And I thought, yeah, I have, and I'm still competitive given certain circumstances. And okay, I'm learning something about myself. You know, and that's, I was glad for your comment with that, because it's like, yeah, I am always beginning. always. So if we can see that things are as they are, and as they are meant to be in the normal and natural unfolding of who we are, and if we can do the work of listening to that, we will feel lighter, more at peace. It may not be happy, but it be more at peace, like, okay, this could happen. Again, going back to my husband, I had the kind of a tradition on Saturdays when he was alive to go thrift shopping. And so after he died, you know, in a while I kind of got started doing that again. But I was always aware that I was just kind of doing it because this is what I did. And one day, going down 17, I had this momentary burst that, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, and then of course I felt guilty. You know, so suffering started again. But it does happen. Light does break through. Peace does break through, and it will break through. So, this will be the last thing I'll comment on. In the Buddhist tradition, there are two kinds of breaks, and one, the Theravada, oftentimes follows scripture and kind of the direct words of Shakyamuni Buddha as it was remembered and written down, and kind of takes it as this is what we do. For instance, the Theravada will not have females be priests because the Buddha didn't have priests. Sounds like Catholic Church to me, but you know, that's my own commentary. Brutus on the Han. Mahayana takes more about the commentaries and, again, the direct experience. Now, Zen here, Rinzai Zen, Soto Zen, is Mahayana. So it's more kind of, in a way, individualized. What do you hear out of these teachings? What fits for you and in your life? And it also really emphasizes what they call the role of the, or the path of the Bodhisattva, which is the person who is in the world to help others. And sometimes that means helping oneself. Sometimes it means helping others. There's a line, I take refuge in Buddha, I vow to save all beings. But that's really, it isn't about saving, like, you know, I'm going to preach to you, but more about, I will care for you and try to meet you where you are, not where you think, you know, I think you should be. So, again, I think Sazen helps us to identify that we are not alone. We may feel very alone, and in that sense, no one can be exactly where you are, but we are all connected, and we all do support each other. And again, that's one of the nice things about having a place to come on Sunday, that we can be in support, at least during that quiet time of Zazen. So thank you for coming, supporting yourselves, and supporting all the rest of us that are here. And I hope your day is a good one. And we will be open next Sunday. It will be Father's Day next Sunday, which is not a Buddhist holiday.